Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to our midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. It is Wednesday, June the 19th, 2013. We are live each weekday here from noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. It's also Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, which means that wherever you are in Southern Arizona, chances are you're able to hear my voice right now. We are live streaming the show as well at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. We podcast the show so you can hear it on your schedule, really anytime, anywhere, on my website, buckmastershow.com. Also, tucsoncitizen.com has the program, as does tucsonsentinel.com, and we thank our media partners with links on the homepages of the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun, and our friends at blogforarizona.com also supporting us with placing our show prominently on their homepage. Today's show will get things rolling with our monthly health contributor, Dr. Victoria Mazes. Dr. Mazes always has a lot of things to say, and today will be no different. We'll talk with her in a few moments. 30 minutes past the hour, our monthly animal care segment. Then we'll wrap things up with a popular Tucson-based author. His name is John Krasielski. He talks about his newest piece of fiction. If you have a question or comment, the Buckmaster Show live line is 790-2040. We also have a very active following on Facebook, and we invite you to join us on Facebook, and it's very easy to find us on Facebook. It's my name, Bill Buckmaster, parentheses, Buckmaster Show. Well, the American Medical Association this week now has officially recognized obesity as a disease. This is a move that could induce physicians to pay more attention to the condition and spur more insurers to pay for treatments. We'll discuss that now with our contributor on health, Dr. Victoria Mazes, an internationally recognized leader in integrative medicine. She is the executive director of the University of Arizona-based Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine. Also at the U of A, she is a professor of medicine, family and community medicine, and public health, in addition to facilitating the growth of the Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine. She helped develop its curriculum and pioneered multiple educational innovations, including integrative family medicine and integrative medicine in residency. Both have become national models for educating primary care physicians. She is the co-author of Integrative Women's Health, and her latest book is titled Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. Dr. Mays, it's good to see you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Whether obesity should be called a disease has long been debated, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. And I think buried in that debate is this question of whether we have personal responsibility. It's just because we don't take good care of ourselves, we don't exercise, we don't follow the right diet, or whether it's more that we're genetically predisposed to weight gain. And we have very mixed feelings about where we hold this challenge of weighing too much. That is a challenge that a very significant percentage of Americans face.
Well, it's a very complicated question, because if you go by the body mass index, up to one in three people in this country, Dr. Mazes, could be, I guess, classified as having this obesity disease.
It's true. I think the other thing that's fascinating, and this is comes in part from some words that David Berube wrote about, is that it's actually not just human beings who are gaining weight. He wrote an article called The Obesity Era, and he found that when you look at lab animals who don't actually control what they eat. We control very much what they eat, and you know, they can't stop at a fast food restaurant. You know, we control how much activity they get. And it turns out that marmosets are gaining 9% per decade. Lab mice gained 11% weight per decade. And chimps actually gained 35% per decade. So
how do you figure that?
Well, it's fascinating, and it suggests that there are other things in the environment that are contributing that are beyond what we have thus far really thought about. Thus far, we've basically said it's, you know, the rules of thermodynamics. You know, how much do you take in and how much do you expend? But it may well be that it's a much, much more complex situation than that.
Well, this AMA decision, as some have said, look, the mother ship has now recognized obesity as a disease, because if the AMA says it's a disease, where does this lead? Does this lead to insurers now perhaps covering some of the things that were weight-related that they have not covered in the past?
Well, I think that's a possibility. But again, I think if we only focus on the individual responsibilities, calories in, calories out, we're probably going to be unsuccessful. So as an example, there are a bunch of new thoughts and ideas. I was recently at our annual nutrition conference in Seattle, and one of our speakers, and he's come a number of times, is Dr. Chris Gardner from Stanford. And Chris Gardner gave a wonderful talk called The Battle of the Weight Loss Diets. Because, you know, we all hear about, is it paleo? Is it Atkins? Is it Ornish? Is it low fat? Is it low carb? You know, what is the right diet? And what Chris Gardner actually was able to show is that there's not a one-size-fits-all in terms of the right diet.
Amen to that.
Yeah. And it turns out that some of it depends on, are you insulin sensitive or insulin resistant?
This is a huge question.
Yes.
And explain briefly what each of those would mean, insulin resistant and insulin sensitive.
Well, some of it has to do with how we process blood sugar. So we eat food and the food is metabolized into sugar in our body, and then our pancreas releases insulin to move that from our bloodstream, where sugar is tightly regulated, into our muscles or our fat. And depending on what you eat, for example, if you eat a simple carbohydrate like a baguette, you're going to get a rapid rise in blood sugar followed by a rapid rise in insulin to normalize the blood sugar. Well, some people, it turns out, become less sensitive to the insulin that are being released. And what the body does in response is it says, I better turn the signal up. I better secrete more insulin, because if I send out a louder message, then perhaps the body will hear. And those are the people who we call insulin resistant. Their receptors don't respond until the signal gets really, really loud. Often those people turn out to not do so well eating simple carbohydrates. And so in Chris Gardner's research, he found that if you were insulin resistant, you did better on a low-carb diet. So that would be the Atkins, paleo, you know, limiting the bread, rice, pasta. But if your insulin levels were normal and you were insulin sensitive, you did better on a low-fat diet. And that's more the Ornish style. So I think it's really important for listeners to understand that there's not a one-size-fits-all. And if you've been struggling, it may be that you've been following the wrong diet for your particular biochemistry.
Dr. Victoria Mays is with us, and what she's talking about is very, it's kind of music to my ears that we're talking about this subject, because since May 1st, I think I shared this with the listeners when you were here the last time that I was going to try to lose weight. Well, since May 1st, I have lost, that's about 8 weeks, anywhere from 10 to 12 pounds, and basically cut out desserts.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first thing,
right.
The first difficult thing for me. As we've talked about being the cookie monster, right? Cut out desserts. Watched the sugar intake, and portion control then became a huge factor in what I was eating.
Right.
Cutting
so
the portions.
So I think portions are really an important message, and certainly we know that on average, we in this country produce more calories than people need. You know, there's a huge excess of calories, and that people tend to consume significantly more than they actually need. But again, the research is beginning to suggest that it's a calorie is not a calorie is not a calorie. That what you eat, so if it's sugar or foods that have trans fats or alcohol, it alters our insulin signaling, and that affects how we process our carbohydrate, and in a dramatic way, in a way that suddenly the messages to the body in terms of making fat and storing fat are shifted, not because you've eaten more calories, but because of the type of foods you have eaten.
So, how do we know if we're insulin resistant or insulin sensitive? This will not show up on a simple fasting test that we do for blood, standard blood workup on your glucose level, will it?
You're absolutely right. You can check fasting insulin levels on people. In Dr. Gardner's study, he did an oral glucose tolerance test, which we do order periodically, especially to see if somebody has hypoglycemia, which is in some ways the opposite of diabetes. But we also can use it to diagnose diabetes. But he, instead of checking blood sugar after giving this glucose challenge, he checked insulin levels. Now, your doctor could order that, but it's definitely not a standard test.
All right. We're going to take a break right here. We are talking about dieting. We're talking about insulin. We're talking about diabetes. Dr. Victoria Mazes is here. If you have any questions or comments, 790-2040, 790-2040. We're going to take a break right here. And please listen now to the lineup of people who support our program, and we ask that you support them. Thank you.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient, it can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Get back down to earth at the 2013 Silver City Clay Festival with workshops, tours, lectures, archaeological panel discussion, films, vendor fair, and three juried exhibitions with fun for the whole family. The festival kickoff event is a poker tournament fundraiser featuring genuine clay poker chips. Enjoy Clay Festival events July 27th to August 4th in Silver City, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson and 15 degrees cooler. More at clayfestival.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Victoria Mays is with me in studio. She is our health contributor. She is the executive director at the UA Bay Center for Integrative Medicine. We're having a very interesting discussion about the American Medical Association at their annual convention. I think it's in Chicago this week. Officially recognized obesity as a disease. And we've been talking about some other studies that indicate that different dietary approaches work for different people if they're insulin resistant versus insulin sensitive. But Dr. Mays, there are other factors as well.
Yes, very true. And this again moves us from you're overweight because you have bad habits to looking at the larger context of our environment. So it's very interesting. Here we are in scorching hot June. And it turns out we're lucky. I consider us lucky. We're sitting in an air-conditioned room. We're perfectly comfortable. But before there was air conditioning, our body had to work to maintain its normal internal temperature. And so we sweat. And also, when it's really hot, there's a tendency for our appetites to go down. We're not as hungry when it's really hot. And so that also then would help us lose weight. The same thing for when it's really cold. We have to expend energy to maintain that normal internal body temperature. So the prevalence, which we're all grateful for air conditioning and heating, may also have contributed to the fact that we are getting more obese as a nation.
So it's harder if we have these extra factors involved. It makes it that much more difficult for people, I think, to lose weight.
Well, it reminds us that there are sometimes factors we haven't necessarily paid attention to. You and I have talked as well about the microbiome, which is the bacteria that live in our intestines. We have 10 times as many bacterial cells as human cells. And depending on the mix of those bacteria, we will be thinner or heavier. In mice, you can do studies where you actually replace the mice fecal bacteria with other thinner mice, and the mice get thinner. Hmm. And actually, there has been human study that show that those who are overweight are more likely to have a gut bacteria. I can barely pronounce it. It's called Methanobrevibacter smithii.
Will that be on a test for new physicians that they will have to...
Well, it may need to be.
Because to learn how to say that.
It's good for us to remember that the gut flora, and remember when we take antibiotics, we wipe out our normal gut flora.
Yeah.
And also when we eat processed and industrialized food, we support the less healthy gut flora. And that may be one of the ways in which processed food increases our risk of obesity as a nation.
So it's no surprise when you've got nearly 1 in 3 people who are, I guess, technically considered obese, that we would have this other epidemic of this type 2 diabetes.
Absolutely. There's a very clear connection
Between weight and...
And diabetes. And, you know, unfortunately, some of this gets wired in us when we're in our mother's wombs. For example, we've known for more than 20 years, David Barker, who is a professor at the University of Southampton, showed that when mothers go hungry during their pregnancy, their babies and their children are at a higher risk of obesity. And one of the epidemiological, the natural experiments that can happen in populations was in 1944 to 45, Holland had what was called a hunger winter. During World War II, many people experienced famine. And the women who were pregnant, their 40,000 babies who were gestated mm-hmm. during that time, grew up to have more obesity, more diabetes, and more heart trouble than others who developed without that war-induced starvation. So your experience in your mother's womb also affects, and it affects it in both directions. If you were undernourished because your mother was experiencing famine, it sets you up for obesity. But also, if your mother was overweight and you were overnourished, you are set up for obesity. So in both directions, away from normal weight, you are set up before you've ever made a single decision in your life about what to eat for being overweight and developing diabetes.
Are there certain foods that can be that perhaps those who don't want to become diabetic should avoid? What about eating a lot of fruit? Is that a problem?
Well, fruit has been somewhat vilified recently because we know that fruit has fructose, fruit sugar, and some of it can be rapidly metabolized. Not all fruit is alike. It depends on how much fiber it is. And you can look up the glycemic index of different fruits and kind of get a sense of which are more rapidly metabolized, like bananas, or which are much more slowly metabolized, like berries. But I think the things to avoid are not whole foods. They're processed foods. So the things we buy in boxes at the grocery store, sugary cereals, crackers, chips, all of these foods that have, of course, a hold on us because we love that blend of salt, sugar, fat, crunch. You know, the food manufacturers have figured it out exactly to almost make these addictive. Those are the things that we really have to eliminate. And we need actually as a country to eat more vegetables and more fruit.
Well, it's a very interesting discussion. We've been talking about insulin resistance versus insulin sensitive can make a big difference on the type of diet that you eventually go on and hopefully you have good success with. But, you know, when it comes to dieting, I don't know if this is too simple, but isn't it in a really about the calories?
Well, I'm trying to say it's not.
Okay.
That it's more the type of foods may have very specific physiological effects that lead you to store fat as opposed to leading you to burn those calories efficiently. And the processed foods that have these high glycemic loads are really culprits. So are trans fats, and so is alcohol.
Yeah,
in terms of the effect.
So it's not, you had earlier said there are, you know, a calorie isn't a calorie. There's good and bad calories.
That's exactly where we're moving to, a greater sophistication and understanding of the effect of different calories on our metabolism.
All right. It's very interesting. So many people dealing with weight issues. They want to lose weight. Well, I think the bottom line is if you are overweight, it will be to your advantage to really start eating right and losing weight. I think that is a generalization that we can all agree on.
I agree. Healthy lifestyle, absolutely.
Dr. Victoria Mazes for the Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. Good to see you. Thanks a lot, and we'll see you later in the summer.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Chairman Ben Bernanke says the Federal Reserve could scale back its $85 billion in monthly bond purchases later this year if the economy continues to improve. The possibility that the Fed might end its stimulus program has sent stocks sharply lower. The Dow is down about 100 points at the moment. At the site of JFK's famous Cold War speech of a half century ago, President Obama has again called for cuts in U.S. and Russian nuclear stockpiles. The president speaking today near Berlin's Brandenburg Gate. It's the latest sign of warmer relations between the U.S. and Cuba. A State Department official says the two countries have agreed to resume bilateral talks on migration issues next month. The Dow down 107 points. The NASDAQ is off 17. More details at srnnews.com.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Road. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
John Fina.
You're
Jim Levinsky.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Hey there.
Billy Flower.
Great to see you.
Burt Williams.
I thought I just saw you.
Bob Schaff.
Thanks for coming.
Casey Polipchak.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
Diana Cannon.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
You know that face.
Mike Fader.
Aren't you?
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Westin La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and new pool and lobby areas, plus enhanced dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Once a month here, we focus on animal care issues. This segment about animal specialty care is presented by Specialty Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson, an award-winning facility open 24/7 and recognized as the best place to bring your sick or injured pet, located at North La Cañada Drive and West River Road, and on the web at vscot.com. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson, specialty vets for special pets. Joining us for this month's animal care segment is Dr. Heather Connolly, emergency and critical care specialist at the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson. Dr. Connolly, thanks for being with us. How are you today?
Doing great. Thanks, Bill.
Well, it is the monsoon season. The summer thunderstorms will be upon us very soon, and that means we will be seeing some of those Colorado River toads, those toads that suddenly appear at our backyard or in the garden somewhere. Where are they found specifically, these toads?
Right around us. So they're found in the extreme southeast of California, and the southwest of New Mexico, and then the whole southern half of Arizona. So we are in the hotbed.
And they do present a challenge to our pets, don't they, if our pets encounter one of these toads?
They sure do.
Tell us a little bit about the danger.
Okay. So they tend to come out during periods of high humidity, and that's why we're about to start seeing them, and already have started seeing them with the monsoons coming. They tend to be underground during the day when it's hot and sunny out, and then come out mostly after periods of rain, especially at dawn and dusk and in the evening hours. And they secrete a toxin. They have these glands that are kind of on their necks and on their legs. And when they get scared, so when they encounter a dog or they're bitten by one, they'll release these toxins and shoot them into their mouth, and then that's when the problems arise.
So the fear, the trigger mechanism in the animal, in the toad, will then stimulate the release of this toxin. Is that what I'm hearing?
Exactly.
And is there a toxic dose of this toxin?
That's a good question, and there's not really a specific dose. It's going to vary with the size of the toad as well as the size of the pet that's encountering the toad. So a bigger toad is going to have bigger glands and will secrete more of the toxin when they're stimulated or scared. So if you have a small dog, let's say a Chihuahua or a Dachshund, encountering a large toad and they're playing with it for a period of time, those animals are going to definitely be more severely affected than, say, a Labrador that just briefly licks a toad.
Dr. Connolly, what are the components? What makes up the toxin that is secreted by the Colorado River toads?
They have a lot of, actually, substances that are in our bodies naturally at times. So substances called catecholamines, which include things like epinephrine and norepinephrine and serotonin. They also, our toads down around here also have a hallucinogen in their toxin as well. But it's those catecholamines that can really cause a problem.
Have you seen some really big ones of
big
these toads?
Yeah. Oh, yes. That actually is a good point. They are the largest toad in North America, and they can grow to be 7 inches or more than that in length. And that doesn't include their legs.
Well, did I hear you say that they are they underground throughout most of the year, and then it's just they come out when the humidity and the rains come? Is that kind of where the way they hang out until the rains come?
Exactly.
Yeah. So you said that a pet could be exposed by a dog, or I guess a cat, right? Could be playing with the animal. How much time is there between exposure and the onset of some signs?
That's a good question, because it's actually quite rapid. We'll see the toxic effects within 30 minutes to an hour. So if your animal, you find it acting abnormally in the middle of the night and it hasn't been outside at all, then it's unlikely to be from a toad. The signs happen very, very quickly.
And what would the effects of the toxin be, and how would an owner notice that it was time to get over to the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson?
Well, sometimes they'll actually see their pet playing with the toad. Otherwise, if the pet was outside and then comes back in, the owner may notice that the animal is hypersalivating, so there's a lot of saliva. They may be pawing at their mouth. If the owner was to lift up the lips of the pet, they may notice that the gums are kind of brick red rather than a nice pink. The animal may be showing significant neurologic signs. The milder ones would be things like stumbling around, acting disoriented, but can become as severe as having seizure activity. They can become comatose as well.
Dr. Heather Connolly is with us from the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson. We're talking about the Colorado River toads. Dr. Connolly, a specialist in emergency and critical care. And one wonderful thing about Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is that you have this 24/7 care available. And I guess if an animal, our pet, has been exposed to the Colorado River toad, it's pretty important to try to get the animal to a vet as quickly as possible. Is that correct?
That's a really good point. It is, but if the owner calls us to get advice or, is seeing abnormal signs in their pet and wondering if it could be a toad, oftentimes we'll actually recommend, this is one of the few times where we'll recommend that they start treatment at home, because the signs come on so very quickly and can be so severe. If the animal is showing signs, especially if the owner knows that they have toads in their backyard or they've seen them or they saw the pet with the toad, we may recommend that they start rinsing the mouth out at home, because when they bring the pet in, that's the very first thing that we're going to do. And so we try to counsel them on how to do that and do it carefully, because there can be some pretty severe consequences if they're not doing it properly. The biggest possible complication from rinsing your pet's mouth out is aspiration of that water. So we always recommend that they spray kind of from the back part of the mouth going forward when they're rinsing out the mouth. And we recommend that they do it for a significant period of time, ideally about 5 to 10 minutes, 2 to 3 separate times to try and get the mouth really rinsed out well.
Can this be fatal, Dr. Connolly?
It absolutely can be. Thankfully, we don't see that very often, but we can see death from ingesting or extreme exposure to one of these toads.
What will the lab workup usually show if there's been exposure?
There are no specific changes in the lab work specific to this toxicity, but we can see changes in lab work that kind of mirror what the pet is doing clinically. So let's say they come in seizuring. There may be disturbances in their acid-base balance. Their percentage of red blood cells may have become elevated. Just changes that are, I guess, relatable to the signs they're showing.
Is there an antidote for the Colorado River toad toxin?
There isn't a true antidote. We treat them all supportively and symptomatically. Thankfully, we get away with just rinsing out their mouth in most of these pets. But if they're having seizures, one of the number one things that we see when they arrive at the vet clinic is their temperature is extremely high. It can be over 107 degrees.
Wow.
So it's pretty significant. And that's part of the reason, just by rinsing out the mouth, we can get their temperature down very quickly. And if we're not getting their temperature down very quickly, then we need to get an IV catheter, get IV fluids into them. If they present seizuring, then we need to get IV fluids and treatment for seizures such as Valium. So we'll treat the signs that they present with.
Will the dog or the cat present differently, and will the recovery be different for the particular pet?
Between species, that's a good question. I have not personally actually seen a cat intoxicated by one. They definitely can show all, if they're exposed to a toad, they will show all the same signs as a dog. But I think cats are just a little bit smarter when it comes to toads.
And after reading your bio, Dr. Connolly, I know you're a cat person, as am I. You've got quite a few cats at home, correct?
I do.
We love our cats. Dr. Connolly, thank you very much for the good information about Colorado River toads and exposures to our pets. Thank you.
Thank you for having me, Bill.
Dr. Heather Connolly has been our guest. She works at the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson in emergency and critical care. We strongly recommend Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson Specialty Vets for special pets. They're located at North La Cañada Drive and West River Road, and on the web at vscot.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscot.com. That's vscot.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Road. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
John Fina.
You're
Jim Levinsky.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Hey there.
Billy Flower.
Great to see you.
Burt Williams.
I thought I just saw you.
Bob Schaff.
Thanks for coming.
Casey Polipchak.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
Diana Cannon.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
You know that face.
Mike Fader.
Aren't you?
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Come in, sit down. You must be Megan and Mark. I'm Sharon, your wedding planner.
Hello.
Hi.
So, are you planning a large wedding?
150 guests.
Okay, then. Fairly large. Let me just get online and we can look at some venues.
Wow. Is that dial-up?
You bet. Oh, they keep trying to sell me fast internet, but come on, faster internet. I need that like I need a color monitor. Oh, now, I assume you'll be videotaping your ceremony. Oh, just ignore that. The machine will pick it up.
Your technology says a lot about your business. Cox Business Internet Professional offers speeds 10 times faster than basic DSL. Cox Business also gives you local support 24/7, free online backup and security. Bundle business internet starter and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today and make your business our business. Visit coxbusiness.com. Offer valid until July 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on maximum download speed of Cox Business Internet Professional 15 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second. Other restrictions apply.
This portion of the Buckmaaster Show, presented by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. Coming up, the Hummingbird Festival, July 19th to 21st. And, of course, one of the big events is the Pottery Silver City Clay Festival. Everything to do with pottery, July 27th to August 4th in Silver City, New Mexico. Just 3.5 hours east of Tucson and 15 degrees cooler. Plenty of great places to stay, including Wildwood Retreat and Hot Springs, Ridge Park RV Park, and Gila Hot Springs Ranch, to name a few. You can find the full list of places to stay and things to do on their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. We welcome now to the Buckmaaster Show John David Krasielski, who is a semi-native of the southwestern desert. He has written 3 novels prior to his latest book, The Mutatis Procedure, Part 1. His third book, The Aegis Solution, is a taut suspense thriller filled with intrigue and drama about a facility built by the government intended as a refuge for those without hope and soon subverted into something very different. His second release, Time Cursor, is a mind-bending time travel adventure about a man who travels back from 30 years in the future with the goal of preventing his younger self from going through with the biggest mistake of his life. His first novel, The Harvest, is a highly acclaimed, profound, thought-provoking epic centered around the arrival of a mysterious stranger who claims to be the creator. John, good to see you. Thanks for being with us.
It's good to be here again, Bill.
Well, congratulations on some very nice words that were written about you by Clive Cussler, the best-selling author. He said he has read all 3 of your books, The Harvest, The Aegis Solution, and Time Cursor. He calls you a truly creative person. He says you have a truly creative mind and you see far beyond the author mainstream. I certainly would never touch you in your genre. Very nice words from Clive.
And that was a total surprise. A lot of endorsements in the publishing industry are pretty much ranged. The Clive Cussler thing came in one morning after he had made a trip to Afghanistan to a book signing, and one of my readers stationed in Afghanistan told him about all 3 books and even offered him his copies of the books. And Mr. Cussler told him he could afford his own copies. And, and I thought that was going to be the end of it after Mac in Afghanistan sent me the email telling me about it. But then like 3 months later, that email came to me out of the blue. It was a great way to start the day.
Well, I've noticed that each of your books to date have varied quite a bit as far as subject matter or even the genre. The Harvest was about a stranger who claimed to be God. Time Cursor was a time travel and ancient alien story. The Aegis Solution seemed more along the lines of a study of human nature under extreme circumstances, while at the same time being a suspenseful story with conspiracies and betrayal. So now we have the new novel. Does it fall into any general area, John?
It has some similarities. It probably suspense thriller with a blend of sci-fi. It's a, you know, it's a story about a man who has made millions as a skeptic, kind of a blend between Dan Brown and Brad Meltzer, writing books and hosting television shows, debunking things, everything from the Illuminati to alien abductions. And all of a sudden he's presented with some evidence even he can't refute. And right after he's about to go public with that new information, he suddenly starts coming to the conclusion that he's losing control of his own mind. And that's how it begins. So, again, a little bit of a departure, a different kind of a story from the other three. But I think my readers are going to see some common elements as well.
You want to talk a little bit about the title, the mutatis procedure?
Mutatis is a Latin word, and it means he has changed. And again, that ties into the concept of Judson Kent, the main character, suddenly losing control of his own mind. It escalates to the point where he's just a prisoner inside of his own head. He's in there and he is picking up everything from all five of the senses, but he has absolutely no control over what Judson Kent is doing.
John Krasowski is with us. John is based in Tucson, but he has readers, very faithful readers all over the world. What do you wish that your readers take away from your books?
That there are still good books to read. There are books that prompt you to think. The feedback that I get is phenomenal, and that's what I want to encourage and want to see continue, is asking questions or posing what-if scenarios in all of my books that cause people to think to themselves, wow, I wonder if that happened, what it would be like. And even in Time Cursor, which was quite a bit of a lighter story than the others, it still poses some questions about life. And how things work, and that's kind of the common theme in all of my books.
And what type of readers do your books attract, John?
Above average intelligence readers like yourself, Bill.
Well, thank you very much.
Comment that I get from critics and also from readers is that I don't dumb down the books, and they appreciate it. And I probably am losing a little bit of the audience out there because of that, who just want kind of light entertainment. But on the other hand, it feels a lot better to write a book that kind of sparks your mind a little bit.
Well, the books certainly get into very profound and intense topics. Fiction, you're very much at home at fiction. Had you ever thought about nonfiction? Or?
It has actually been suggested to me in the past that we do something along the lines of The Harvest, but in a nonfiction format, where it's just basically a philosophical discussion or even, you know, a theological discussion. What I like about fiction, in the vein of like an Atlas Shrugged or things like that, is the ability to place the reader into a situation where they can more comfortably accept it. I know you've read The Harvest. And I have had people from all different beliefs and even atheists love the book and tell me it's a book that they enjoyed very much. And fiction allows the reader to do that, where nonfiction, you kind of have to be in agreement with the author to enjoy it, I think.
Well, I will say this, John, that you read one of your books, you will never forget them. Your books are really in the genre, almost something that you've created. Do you consider yourself sci-fi, or how would you characterize your work?
My mind tends to work along the lines of sci-fi frequently. But if I were to compare myself, it's way too immodest to compare myself to anyone. But Michael Crichton, who kind of bounced all over the place from The Great Train Robbery to Andromeda Strain to Jurassic Park, defied genres. If the subject was interesting and he was a research junkie like I am, then he wrote the book. And that's, I was worried initially that all of my readers would follow me. But they have, and so it's a hard question to answer. But I would say I like a suspenseful book. I like a book with twists and turns. I like surprise endings, and a few sci-fi elements are always fun.
The overriding theme of your books, how would you characterize that?
An examination of human nature.
And the characterization?
The characterizations are based upon people that I meet. My wife has joked about getting me a T-shirt that says, be nice to me or you'll end up in my next book. But because of the traveling I do and because of all the signings that I do, I meet a lot of people and I have a chance to talk to a lot of people. And elements of those people end up in my books, as well as people that I've known throughout my life. And I have a lot of people send me emails after my books go out saying, that was me, wasn't it? And sometimes they're right. Most of the time they're wrong. But.
Your upcoming signing, talk about that, please.
Upcoming signing is the first time we've done this in Tucson, and it's going to be at the Starsis Publishing offices at 522 North Alvernon. And it's going to be from 2 to 7. There's going to be refreshments there. We're going to have both hard and soft covers of Mutatis Procedure, as well as our previous books. And as kind of an extra special treat, we're also going to have a local artist, Michael Nolan, who has done the covers on all of my books, and he's going to be showing some of his art there as well. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I hope to see a lot of my readers.
Saturday,
yes.
2 to 7. And again, the address?
522 North Alvernon. It's right off of the corner of 5th and Alvernon.
All right. John David Krasielski, thank you very much for being with us. Good luck to you, John.
It was my pleasure. Good to see you again.
Thank you very much. Bottled Water on the Buckmaster Show is provided by Culligan. Thank you, Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. All of our in-studio guests are provided with a bottle of Culligan water. Culligan for all your year-round and commercial water needs. Coming up this afternoon, the John C. Scott Show from 3 to 5. Then tomorrow morning, it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe right here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon. Be with you tomorrow at 12:04.
Intelligent Talk 24/7. AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.